Flawless,
Chapter 1. The walls and ceilings of the corridor were stained with patches of damp and peeling paint, but most people were distracted well enough by the brightly coloured posters on the walls. Charlotte wasn't. 6 months of appointments did that to you. Escaping into the patterns on the floor was done now. The pale green lino with silver flecks had been a giant dot to dot, even though tracing images had taken weeks. It was like the hospital floor. It had made her chest and throat tighten back then. Sometimes it still did. Now she could take in the bright, child-friendly space. It was probably comforting to someone younger, but at 16 all she saw were the flaws. The creases and tatty corners on children's paintings, the less faded square on the wall from a long-term poster now taken down, and every smear of blue tack. A shiny new poster faced her, showing a happy little girl dressed in white, reaching her hands out towards the camera. On her palm was a painted smiley face, and each finger was coated in a different colour of paint. "This is fostering," was written in bright yellow letters. It was so staged. An arty setup designed to grab people's attention and make them smile. There was no way the girl had been able to put the paint on herself. It was all too neat. And nobody dresses a child in a pretty white dress when they're painting. Not that it mattered, really. It drew people in. Not for the first time, Charlotte wondered if it would work as well if it wasn't a cute, blonde-haired, blue-eyed child. If it was her in the photo, then nobody would ever get fostered. Teenagers were hard enough to place as it was, let alone someone who looked like her. Grubby Marshmallow. That's what Carol and Devlin had called her once at school, because she was fat, round and pink, and has spots all over like she's been dropped in the dirt. All of Caroline's popular friends had laughed at that one. Charlotte pretended not to hear. It was easier if you didn't let them know they'd got to you, especially the pretty girls like Caroline, who spent hours doing their hair and makeup each day, and picked on those who didn't. It was 2 buses from the group home to school. And even if Charlotte had the time, she doubted her dull, fluffy brown hair would have done what she wanted anyway. It wouldn't be anything like that scene in The Princess Diaries, where the girl with glasses, big eyebrows, and crazy frizzy hair has a makeover, and is revealed to be the most beautiful girl in the class. Things like that only worked if you were pretty to begin with, like that little girl on the fostering poster. Charlotte scuffed her tatty trainers across the floor, the plastic chair creaking as she leant back and closed her eyes. Hysterical, happy screams of playing children assaulted her ears. A kettle was boiling in the staff room, and the aroma of burnt toast wafted. They'd forgotten to keep an eye on the dodgy toaster. With a bit of luck, the smoke might set off the fire alarm, and Charlotte could get out of her therapy session. A curse and a clang of a teaspoon hitting the side of the mug was followed by a scraping chair and the slamming of the staff room door. She still had a chance if the smoke alarm went off before. Creak of a window. Well, that was it. No chance of getting out of the meeting now. She could just leave again. After all, she'd gone so well last time. Not. Fussing carers and social workers who were worried about you just made everything worse. The meetings proved to them she wasn't suicidal, and that meant more freedom. It was worth it for the peace.
If you can just wait out here, Stephen.
The soft voice of Dr. Portland floated out of the therapy room as the door opened. A little boy and his mother emerged.
I just need to talk to your mummy for a couple of minutes. You'll be fine out here with Charlotte.
Even worse, what was she, a babysitter now? The mother's eyes were brimming with tears, but she sat her son down next to Charlotte and forced a smile.
I'll be out soon, sweetheart.
She kissed him on the forehead and fussed with his hair before following Dr. Portman back into the office. The door closed.
she leant closer to the door, she might be able to hear what they were saying. Eavesdropping wasn't right, but she was curious. Nope. Nothing. And the boy didn't say anything either. His mother had wasted her time messing with the mop of dark brown curls on his head. It still looked messy. Charlotte sympathised. Sometimes there was just nothing you could do with your hair. Were his eyes green? Hard to tell with him staring at the floor. He hadn't looked up once. Not even at his mother when she left. His feet swung back and forth, too short to scrape the lino. "Have you found the rabbit yet?" Charlotte asked. His legs stilled and he tilted his head, looking at Charlotte from the corner of one eye. He wasn't going to speak. He was damaged in some way. But then everyone who came to therapy was. Charlotte pointed at a group of grey specks by his feet. "If you squint your eyes and stare at those grey dots really carefully, you'll see the shape of a rabbit." He leant forward, his nose wrinkling, and a frown appeared on his face. It dropped as his lips creased slightly, his finger tracing the outline in the air. Charlotte smiled. "There's a sheep over there, but you have to tilt your head a bit to see that one." Stephen copied the way Charlotte was tilting her head. He fidgeted and scowled. "Where?" he whispered. Charlotte held her arm straight out past his face. "Just there. At least, I think it's a sheep." Silence. Maybe he couldn't find it.
"That's not a sheep," he muttered. "It's a pig. It's got a curly tail."
It was as well.
"You're right. I've never noticed that before."
Stephen's mother emerged from the therapy room, tucking a soggy tissue into her pocket.
"I'll see you next week," Dr. Portland said to them.
"Thank you,"
Stephen's mother replied, holding her hand out to Stephen.
"Come on, sweetheart, let's go home."
He slid off the chair and took her hand without looking up at any of them.
"Bye, Charlotte," he whispered.
All down the corridor he traced shapes on the floor with his finger. Had Dr. Portland ever realised that her choice of lino was also a type of therapy?
"Right."
That was the matter-of-fact, let's-get-down-to-business voice.
"Come on in, Charlotte."
"Here we go."
Charlotte pulled her school bag out from underneath her seat and followed obediently into the office, taking a seat on the sofa opposite Dr. Portland's patchwork upholstered swivel chair.
"How have you been this week?"
"Always the same difficult question."
"Say a conventional fine, and Dr. Portland will quiz her. On the other hand, mention all those mornings wanting to cry at her reflection, or Caroline's latest bitchy remarks, then the entire session turned into a pity party. It wasn't like other teenagers didn't have to deal with the same stuff, so it was stupid to get upset about it."
"It's been okay."
"Play it safe and settle with the vague answer."
"I got a bit stressed about a math test, and I got called a scruffy tramp by someone at school, but I'm over it."
She barely convinced herself. There was no way Dr. Portland didn't pick up on the lie. Charlotte's shoes were battered, but you couldn't get new stuff all the time living in a group home, and it would probably get stolen. It wasn't worth worrying about the comments. College was only a couple of months away.
"It's good that you're taking such a positive attitude towards dealing with the bullying. But remember, it's okay to feel upset about it. Did you mention it to a teacher?"
"Yes." 2 minutes in and already a second lie. Was that a new record?
"Good. And what about the test? How did that go?"
80%.
"That's very good."
"Turned out it was easier than I thought it would be."
"Good."
Dr. Portland was smiling. It was a smile that said, "Now we've got through the pleasantries, we'll start digging deeper into the real issues." Charlotte's stomach clenched.
"So,"
Dr. Portland began, "here it comes.
I thought today we'd talk more about the positives you can remember of spending time with your mum." There it was. So predictable.
Why did they have to do this? No amount of positive memories would wipe out the images of the accident. Nothing ever could.
Did you manage to write some memories down in your diary?
Yes.
And it sounded crazy.
Why hadn't she made something up? Dr. Portland would probably have her committed for what she'd written.
Could you read them to me?
Charlotte pulled the notebook out of her rucksack and flipped through the most recent pages. Therapy was like taking off a plaster. It was better just to rip it off quickly.
When I was about 6, Mum took me on a walk. She said it was a special trip in honour of Auntie Lucy, who'd just died. She wasn't really our aunt, more like an old family friend, and I didn't really know her that well, but Mum had visited her in the nursing home a lot. I didn't understand what she meant, but she always made everything sound like an adventure. We usually went to the park near our house, but this day she took me to the woods. There was a pond with ducks in the middle. I liked the ducks. The sun was shining through the trees, but it was still a bit cold, and I had to keep rubbing my nose with my mittens to warm it back up again. There were blue flowers all over the floor. Now I'm older, I know they were bluebells, but Mum told me they were called fairy flowers. "Are there really fairies in the wood?" I asked her. I'd always wanted to see a fairy. "Of course there are."
"Where?"
"All around us," Mum said. "Can't you see their faces in the trees?" She took me to a big tree and pointed at the bark. It was all gnarled and twisted.
"That's not what a fairy looks like," I told her. "That's too big. Fairies are little and have wings like Tinkerbell."
Mum laughed. "You're right. There are little fairies with wings, but we call them pixies. They like to cause mischief."
"The tree doesn't look like a pixie to me."
"That's because there are lots of other types of fairies. Spirits of the earth and water called the Fae Folk. They're a lot like us, only a lot older. They've lived for hundreds of years, using their magic to make things grow." I looked up at the tree.
"They must be very wrinkly if they're hundreds of years old."
"No, they look younger than me. That's part of their magic. They never grow old, and they never die."
"Will they come out and see us?"
"Maybe," she said. "If you're quiet, you might be able to hear their music." I closed my eyes. I couldn't hear much to start with, only the birds singing and the breeze blowing through the flowers and leaves. But then someone started singing quietly. It could have been Mum, but I'm sure there were more voices than just one. Opened my eyes, there were people melting out of the trees. They wore clothes as light as cobwebs, made from moss and flowers. They were singing and dancing with Mum, who was wearing a crown of bluebells. I don't know how it got on her head, but she looked so happy, smiling and swaying with them. The music was so haunting it made me sleepy, and I couldn't keep my eyes open any longer. Up, Mum was sitting on a moss-covered rock,
her fingers stroking it. She had her eyes closed, and the crown had gone from her head. The music had stopped, and there was no one else around. But when I looked at the tree, I could see a face. Mum must have heard me sit up. She didn't open her eyes, but she said to me, "Auntie Lucy used to bring me here to dance with the Fae. She loved this place. So do I. Remember what it feels like here, Lottie. I never want you to forget the beauty of the wood. You must promise me you'll come here again. Will you promise me?" "We could come back tomorrow. I'd like that." She looked sad for a moment. "I wish we could come back every day. But you have to go to school, and I have farmland to manage." Her face changed to a smile. "We'll come back one day. Come on, I want to show you something." Mum led me to a place where twigs seemed to twist out of the ground. There were more bluebells and tiny white flowers covering everything. In the centre was an enormous oak tree with a garland of bluebells tied around it. Ribbons hung from the lower branches and glittering crystal ornaments. Mum knelt in front of the tree and bowed her head. I felt a bit silly, but I copied her anyway. Mum stood and pulled a Christmas tree ornament out of her pocket. It was a blue crystal star. She tied it to the tree branch and said, "The Fae folk like gifts, and this is a memory for them." "What memory?" I asked. "Auntie Lucy, she gave me this star. I like to think that if the Fae have a little piece of her, her spirit will be allowed to come and dance with them whenever she wants." I now know how ridiculous that sounds. The star wasn't really a piece of Auntie Lucy. It was just a decoration. We danced under the tree until we both got too tired, and then sat in the wood until the sun started to set. It was way past my bedtime, but Mum said I could stay up because it was a special treat. We walked home without saying a word, but she was humming the music from the wood and squeezing my hand tightly all the way back. Charlotte closed the diary. Dr. Portland was watching her intently. "Your mum had a good imagination. She must have been good at telling stories because you really look like you believed there were fairies in the wood." "Not fairies, fae folk. There's a difference." Why had she said that so firmly? It made her sound nuts, and even worse, she'd had to bite her tongue to avoid saying that you could still see faces in the trees if you looked for them. "Did you ever go back to the wood?" "Yes, after that tractor had slid down the bank and rolled over Mum. After Charlotte had sat at the hospital staring at the floor and then been told her mum had passed away." "She hadn't passed away. She'd been taken away by a stupid accident that should never have happened. If Mum hadn't got out to open the gate, and the ground hadn't been as muddy, and if Mum hadn't stopped to wave at her..." The day of the funeral, Charlotte had eluded her carers and gone straight to the big oak. Her stinging eyes hadn't been able to pick out the faces in the trees. It had been the wrong time of year for bluebells, but the ribbons and ornaments still hung from the branches. That was where she'd put Mum's favourite necklace, the silver crescent moon. She deserved to be remembered too, and maybe there she could live on like Auntie Lucy's memory. Charlotte waited for the Fae, but bleary-eyed she only thought she saw them once, and when she'd wiped her sleeve across her face, they had disappeared. No, it's too far from the group home. Mum would be disappointed. But Charlotte reminded herself that lying meant she didn't have to deal with more questions. Could Dr. Portland tell? Her eyes narrowed slightly like a bird of prey eyeing up a mouse. Dr. Portland changed the subject. "The day you went with your mum to the woods, what did you do afterwards? You haven't put any of that in the diary. For good reason." "Dad was waiting for us," Charlotte shrugged. "Was that unusual?"
"Yes, he was never around."
"A bit. He was always working late or staying at the science labs." "What did he do at the labs?"
"Do? Anything to avoid his family, maybe."
"I don't know. He didn't talk about work when he came home. Mum said he was using science to make people's bodies better and fix injuries. I guess that's something to do with prosthetics." Mum used to get annoyed with him for spending all his time away from us.
Did it bother you, him not being around? Finally, no need to lie. Not really. Dad was more like a visiting family friend. We were better without him. Less arguing. They had a fight about us going to the woods because he thought it was too far and we should have just gone to the park instead. Mum said something about how the parks weren't the same as the woods, but he wouldn't understand because all he cared about was his job and technology. She was right. He didn't come home much after that day, and one day, he didn't come back at all. This wasn't a new conversation. Dr. Portland had already dug into Charlotte's troubled relationship with the man who chose his work over his family. He died a couple of years before Mum's accident, but Charlotte hadn't cried over him. He hadn't cared enough about her or Mum. She'd grown up without a dad. And that had been fine.